International Break Your Spirit Week, league action returns to us like Austin Powers' mojo. Another person in need of his mojo is Mourinho after Naismith turns Slaysmith and puts Chelsea to the sword. Elsewhere, United Martial their strength to eclipse Liverpool, and speaking of moons, City stars stick their landing as they scrape past Palace. In Spain, Messi has another son and then delivers victory for Barcelona against Atleti, and Mumu of the Week rounds things off. Thank goodness it's back, eh? Welcome everyone to another episode of the Koshcast. This is Mohamed. I had a lot of fun doing the intro, I think for the first time ever.
I think it is the first time you've done it.
It is, but to be fair, Alex did write it. We didn't
have to tell people I could think that this week you were talented.
True, I cannot take credit for those puns. I just can't. How's it going, Bernie?
It's great. It's a good day. We're going to have our semi-final game today.
Oh, yeah, under the Kosh FC.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
I'm really looking forward to it. We've lost to these guys last year's semi-final, so it's quite a rivalry.
It's payback time.
It is. Let's go right into the Premier League. There were some great games this week. Do you want to start with Liverpool United?
Might as well, because I have so much energy. I'm still buzzing from the game, so let's get it out the way.
Right, you went and watched it at the United's supporters pub here in Toronto. Yeah, how was that?
O'Grady's Roche went with me. The atmosphere was crazy there. I can only imagine what it was like at Old Trafford. Summarize the game itself. First half was one of the most boring things I have ever seen, and that's not an understatement at all.
I think it rivaled United Tottenham first week of the season.
Maybe that, and then United Newcastle. Every game that United seemed to play under Van Gaal, who I'm still not convinced by, absolutely drab. They didn't want to shoot.
Right.
Forget. I remember I used to criticize Arsenal back in the day of getting to the box and not shooting. They didn't even get to the box.
Well, the United started the game. Rooney was injured, because Van Gaal said he's not even going to play the Champions League midweek. Instead he played Fellaini up top, which wasn't a great sign to start the game off, just in terms of seeing any kind of flair or attacking talent. Liverpool were also missing a lot of crucial players. They were missing Henderson, Coutinho, Lallana, Sturridge. So the game, you were missing a lot of the flair players, a lot of players that were going to give you a fun game to see. But United still had enough on the field. You had Depay and Mata and Herrera.
Depay, just nothing he tried came off at all. It was a horrible performance from him, to be honest. I just felt that what disappointed me about this game was United, had 65% possession and didn't do anything with it. And it's not like they couldn't, they didn't feel like they wanted to do anything. But Liverpool shocked me. Mm-hmm. And I want to see a good game. I want to see even my opponents push me. But Brendan Rodgers came to this game looking for a draw. And that's disappointing for a team the stature of Liverpool.
Yeah, it's the same when he did. He started against Arsenal he played well against Arsenal at the start, but then at the end of the game he also resorted at halftime to just taking the draw. I think he did this against United from the very beginning this time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a shame to see, because Benteke won every single header from a long ball, but there was nobody to pick up on the second ball, which is a useless tactic. If you're going to play a long ball to a main guy, you need someone to pick up the second ball.
I think you're right. They were playing the long ball, and then they had Danny Ings, a second striker, playing on the right-hand side, which just didn't make any sense. I didn't actually know Firmino was playing.
I know, right?
I remember I messaged you guys, Firmino played?
When he got subbed, right?
I didn't know he was there, and it was a shocking display. But in terms of good displays, David Blind was fantastic, because you could see Benteke decided to stick on him, but he actually did a very good job on Benteke, and I was very impressed. Took his goal very well.
Exactly. So the first half ended 0-0. And then Van Gaal, I don't know. I called it crazy at the time, but he subbed off Memphis and brought on Young, which I think Young is actually a really good player to have on your bench. He comes on, he creates chaos, you're not sure what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then he does. He comes on, he takes on a couple of players down the left, gets the free kick, and that's what leads to quite a brilliant goal from United.
It was a good goal, clearly rehearsed, and Van Gaal made sure he let everyone know that these are what our meetings that we have a lot of are about. Good finish by David Blind, great pickup by Juan Mata, and from then on, I felt that United were going to win because Liverpool didn't come to play.
Yeah, United scored their second goal after that. Herrera scoring the penalty. It was such a good penalty. And I love the view. Do you remember the view they had? It was new. Like, they usually have it kind of really zoomed out. This one was right behind Herrera. I like that.
The thing I liked about the goal wasn't necessarily the penalty. It was the pass for Michael Carrick to find him. And the reason why I liked it is Carrick does this all. At least under Ferguson, all the time. And I felt that in the first half, they didn't even try that one time. And you could see a bunch of times the guys making a forward run, they wouldn't make the pass.
Right.
Second half, they came out and said, let's be a little bit more daring. Let's try something. And that's the result. Try that more, and you're going to get results.
So, pretty smooth sailing at this point. 2-0 for United. Kind of everything calmed down. Nothing much happening. And then Benteke decided to take things in his own hand with an absolute brilliant kind of overhead sidekick. Goal is
the bar went silent, but it was a silent appreciation,
right?
Because that was a fantastic goal.
It was one of those where all the United fans wanted to appreciate the goal, but at the same time, couldn't.
The funny thing was at the bar, and you can tell this is Canada because we're very, very polite and tame people. There were two Liverpool fans, and one of them, he didn't say a word the whole time. The other guy was boy, I respect him, he was noisy, whatever. This other guy was quiet. When that goal came in, he jumped up. We were like, oh, you're a Liverpool fan, and he said, that's the best goal of the match. And we just looked. Okay. Yeah.
But you're still losing
2-1. We all know this information.
So that was brilliant. And then Benteke ran and got the ball out the goal. And it looked like Liverpool had a bit of steam behind them now. And they thought they might go get something. And then Ferguson brought on Martial. LVG brought on Martial. And that kind of changed things. Because now, it wasn't about the game anymore, literally the last 20 minutes or whatever. It was just about seeing what this kid can do. That's what it turned into. And he didn't have a lot of touches. I remember watching him thinking, well, first 5 minutes he barely touched the ball. And then he decided to do, which I hate to say, his best Thierry Henry impression. I feel so dirty. I need to take a break and have a shower right now. But to be honest, he couldn't have scored a more similar goal. He couldn't.
Yes. Like, yes, and Thierry Henry said, they asked him about it, and he said they were wondering if he could speak English, but he let the ball speak for itself or something poetic that Thierry Henry likes to say.
Yeah.
The thing that's really, really funny is we all know when he signed, everyone just said, he's the next Thierry Henry, and I thought, God, I don't want to hear this anymore.
Yeah.
And then, exactly, he did that.
Yeah.
The finish, the side foot stroke into the corner, it was, that's a Thierry Henry typical everyday finish.
Yes.
And on Twitter, pilled me, because these overzealous United fans
almost
decided to put a side-by-side comparison of the two goals. The two goals, I mean, the goal he scored against Liverpool, funny enough, where he went, danced past three guys, and then got, they sidestepped, I think, Keon.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're comparing goals where, I get it, Marcel is young and everything. It's funny. It's not to be taken seriously, but Marcel got past Lucas and Skrtel. Henry got past Haman and Carragher. So that's, tone it down.
But the thing
a
is, before Henry started from deeper, beat three guys, then beat the last one, and then side footed. So the videos both start from the point where he has one more guy to beat. So they actually look the same. Meanwhile, it's not.
That's what the media is. It's biased. You know, you gotta portray it the way you want people to perceive it.
But the funny thing is about that goal, and the last thing I want to say about Martial is, there was an article I read where they said, the key to what Martial did was, it was completely anti-Van Gaal.
Yeah.
Completely.
Hmm.
Van Gaal probably would have wanted him to get the ball and pass it on and then move and then get one touch in the box. He said, forget that. I'm going to run. I'm going to keep the ball. I'm going to beat two guys and see what happens.
I have to say, jokes aside, the open of the foot finish into right next to the post, that was very impressive. Mm-hmm. Under the kind of pressure in that kind of game, give him credit for that. Let's see what he does later. I mean, we can't really judge now, but just that clip was very impressive. The funny thing on Twitter as well is, Harry Kane scored 30 goals last season. And the verdict is, easy, guys.
I said it halfway through.
Exactly.
The season.
Take it easy. It's only one season. He's a one season wonder. Martial scores one goal. He's the next Thierry Henry. So it's funny how these things happen.
Well, Harry Kane's the next Alan Shearer.
Right, which I don't know if that's a good thing.
No.
So yeah, game ended 3-1 to United. I'm pretty sure people would have predicted that United win here. I mean, at least a draw. Liverpool were not going to win this game, especially away. Good 3 points for United. Kind of puts them, I think, third in the table right now. Not looking too bad.
Yeah.
I think you're just looking for a bit more flair, just a bit more fun to watch.
If it's going to be more like the first half, then they'll probably get fourth, and I will just, it'll be a forgettable season. Right. Happy that De Gea came back.
Had
a couple of really good saves.
He did have a couple of good saves. The fans were behind him. They cheered him on every time he made, just had possession of the ball, which is nice to see. Really, really quickly, Carrick, Schweinsteiger kind of axis, you happy with that?
Schweinsteiger had his best game, yeah. I felt. I still feel, and just by part of him being United player for longer, Carrick was better than Schweinsteiger, and so far has been brilliant.
Is that how you play your midfield with Herrera there? Or would you have Mata there?
I would.
Because I would have Mata.
As number 10?
I would have Mata where Herrera plays, and I would have Depay and Young both on the field.
I would have Martial left.
Okay.
And then Depay on the right, because he's right foot. I'm not about this whole inverted nonsense. Okay. I would have Depay on the right.
All right. So that was a lovely, at least, second half. Now for a lovely full game. Everton-Chelsea. This was the game that kicked off the weekend on Saturday, early morning. Woke up at 7:30 or so to see it. And it was totally worth it. It was an unbelievable game. Everton came up. I mean, we know Chelsea are coming into this game really bad form, not looking good. And then Everton just started the game on the front foot. Barkley was playing fantastic. Barry was playing great, and it just looked like Everton were in complete control for 20 minutes.
I didn't see this result happening. I thought, you know, it's been a very tough start to the season for Chelsea and for Jose Mourinho. I thought that, you know, after international break, he regroups and everyone gets together and they're going to win this game. A tight game. But you know what? Roberto Martinez, I give him a lot of crap. I really do. And I'm still not convinced by him, but I was very, very impressed by it. Just the determination of his team.
Right.
That's what won in the game.
Well, the thing is with Martinez and everything, it's about consistency. Because when I look at them on paper, starting 11, I think I was telling you guys this, I think they have a better starting 11 plus two or three subs than Spurs or Southampton. Just on paper, I think they have a better team. They have some really, really good players on the field. You know, their back four is fantastic. When you have, I mean, Baines didn't play this game, but when you have Baines, Jagiaka, Stones, you know, when you have...
And Seamus Coleman, one of the
Seamus
best
Coleman, lineups. Exactly. You have Howard in goal. Mm-hmm. You've got Barkley, Barry, Naismith, Lukaku. You've got really good players on the field. You just need consistency.
Their problem is, when you get away from that starting 11, it starts to fall apart.
Exactly.
If you can keep them all fit, and if Martinez can finally figure out defense, which he seemed to have done against the Chelsea team, except they're not really attacking very well this season.
Right.
Then I think they'll be a good team.
So... Mikel started the game for Chelsea. Oscar didn't play. William didn't play. Remember when I told you at the beginning of the season, Oscar's going to get dropped like this. The minute things go bad, Oscar's the first one to get dropped, which now he's barely getting a shoe in. And Chelsea looked bereft of any kind of creativity. Not impressive at all. Besic got injured for Everton, which was a
blessing.
Huge blessing, this guy, because Naismith came on and did his thing.
Yeah. I mean, he looks like...
I mean, not his thing, sorry. I mean, he's not known for this, but he came on and did a thing.
I mean, Lionel Messi is apparently the Scottish Naismith. I mean, the Spanish... Argentinian, where is he from?
Argentinian, yeah.
Excuse me. Have to say, Naismith was fantastic. The first goal, the pass out, and the movement, he just kept moving.
Yeah.
That's the way you're supposed to play the game.
First touch on the right, finish with the left, past Begovic, who, yes, Courtois is injured, out for a couple of months now with a knee injury.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the first goal was fantastic. And apparently, the status, Naismith, of all the goals he's ever scored, 30% of them are against Chelsea. He just seems to always score against Chelsea.
I think he scored in every game he's played against Chelsea or something
like that. Exactly. And like we said at the back, John Stones and Jagielka were absolute beasts. John Stones was, I mean, unlucky for him because of Naismith's performance, but he was definitely second man of the match. He was unbelievable, and you could see why Chelsea wanted him so bad.
John, I don't like it when, you know, people make opinions based on one good game and
right.
commentators going crazy. But this is not one good game.
No.
This has been, you know, a season and a half already we've seen John Stones, almost two seasons. And now, in what was the toughest test for him, because this is the team he wanted to join. He gave a transfer request to move there, and he showed, you know, A, he's a model professional.
Right.
Because to stand up and play the way that he played against this team, and against Diego Costa, who I don't rate that highly, but he's a physical specimen at the minimum, and he handled him.
And we also saw John Stones' versatility when I think one of the centre backs got injured. Coleman, and then he played right back for the last 20 minutes of the game or so. And you could see he was comfortable. I mean, he's a good player on the ball. Technically, he's also a good player, not just a big kind of solid centre back, which is also always nice to see. Game went on. what's his name? Naismith got the hat trick. It was...
Well, Nemanja Matic pulled on by.
Matic's goal was, to be fair, it was fantastic.
There were some good goals in this game.
Howard, I don't blame him for the goal. Mm-hmm. But I just feel sort your feet out slightly faster and you might get it. You might. Like, or a taller keeper. I don't know. Like, Perecek would get that. Courtois
probably
would get that.
Probably. Yeah. The thing is, Howard is still more athletic than all of those guys. Yeah. So he relies on that a lot more. And then maybe his positioning, I think. But I'd take nothing away from the strike. It was a brilliant strike. And he probably never thought Matic. He's like, nah.
Right. So before we move on, let's quickly talk about Chelsea. Hazard is invisible right now. Cesc is fat. Costa's old. Mm-hmm. Courtois out. Mourinho doesn't know who his best centre back pairings are. Ivanovic looks like he forgot how to play football completely.
Ivanovic went from the best right back in the Premier League to absolute nonsense.
Well, I mean, he's playing for the team in 17th, so what do you expect?
He's playing at his level.
Yes. So I don't know, where do they go from here? Because people expect that the solution is a quick Jose Mourinho pep talk and everything is back to normal. But it doesn't work like that.
Well, I think the one thing that we found out is... Well, no, we knew it for half of the season that Cesc Fabregas is... There's something wrong there.
But we expected something wrong from January. But now he started way too soon.
Now it's gotten worse.
Yeah.
And clearly, if Hazard isn't playing well, this team is done.
Like, no creativity whatsoever.
None. And Hazard, I don't understand what the problem is. But I wasn't... Last season, I didn't feel he was a player of the year.
Same.
He was good.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, but I did not feel he was a player of the year. And now it's the type of thing that only makes me resent the fact that he was player of the year last year. Because he's playing so badly right now.
I think an Oscar would really help. Just a bit more creativity. Someone who wants to, I don't know, do the out of the box things. Because Fabregas and Matic just do what you expect them to, pass sideways. And Fabregas stopped even being that creative. He's just playing it safe right now.
I think what Chelsea need to do right now is go back to basics. Actually, if you ask me, sit Hazard for a game, play Willian and Pedro, you know, get the hardworking grafters and just start trying to grind out results. That's what they need to do.
Yep.
Keep it simple and grind out the results. And then after a while, Hazard has to step up his game. Fergie used to do it all the time. He would bench the stars when they weren't playing well, and that forces you to step up your game. I think Mourinho needs to do that.
Costa, the problem with Costa as well is he has to play, because when you look at Arsenal, United, and Chelsea, for example, even Liverpool not so much, but they have that one striker, and that's it. I mean, Remy is, you know, Arsenal have Walcott a little bit,
Remy.
You guys have no one. Like,
I'd rather play Remy over Diego Costa and Falcao.
Try,
right
I mean,
now.
Well, yeah.
Because
well.
Both of them look shocking. Falcao looks worse than
I don't know why Falcao comes on before Remy.
It's stupid. It's because he's Falcao.
Yeah.
His name.
I don't know. Anyways, moving on, Arsenal Stoke. 2-0 Arsenal, which doesn't tell the whole story, because that really should have been 5-6-0 easily in the first 20 minutes, let alone the whole game.
Arsenal, like, when you talk about a one-sided game, this was it. It was bombardment. Jack Butland had the game of his life.
Happens at the Emirates for every keeper that comes in.
I couldn't believe some of the things. That one, that save from the Sanchez header, I didn't even know it was a save.
Same.
Until you see the replay and you're like, what did he do?
Those are the best saves, when you don't know it's a save until the replay.
Oh.
Yep, and I mean, there was a lot of chances created, because Zorla was fantastic in creating Sanchez.
I didn't know he was that
good. He was that good. Creating chances. I mean, he kept kind of playing Benzema in from the left,
Benzema.
Cavani in from the right.
Oh, I see.
And it was just not, it wasn't clicking.
I think also Vidal was playing in the middle.
He was. He kept the play ticking really well. But, Arsenal, Sanchez hit the post twice in the first 20 minutes. Walcott missed two open goals, as he does every game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the first goal was fantastic, though. Coquelin, everyone kind of did his role in that goal. Coquelin did that sliding tackle, and then Ozil did what people want Ozil to do, which is that fantastic through ball. It was unbelievable. Walcott's first touch for that was so soft.
To me, it was shocking for Walcott.
It was shockingly good. And then he finished it really well. And then Arsenal let Stoke back into the game. Stoke looked a bit more dangerous. Shaqiri started getting on the ball a bit more. And it wasn't looking comfortable, but then at the end, I think it was a Santi free kick, Giroud header. So both strikers scoring, which is good for their confidence.
I think so. I think it's good for the confidence that they scored. I think they really, really do need to go back to the drawing board and work on the finishing even more. Walcott probably more so than anybody, because it's great that you scored, and it's great that he's got 11 goals in the last 11 starts,
exactly,
which is a great statistic.
Yeah.
But when you see the amount of goals that he wastes, I think it gives the team more confidence if you beat teams 4-0, 5-0 to go into the next game.
Well, I mean, the next game is Chelsea 2 away. But what you're saying is so true, because people use stats to back Walcott and Giroud. Giroud has 60 goals in 3 seasons. Fantastic stuff. Walcott has 11-11. Unbelievable. But it's more about what could be, mm-hmm. not what is. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, sure, you score 11-11, but that could be 20-11. Why not? Like, you know what I mean? It's just that what if, like...
The one negative takeaway from this game for me is... I don't think he's been playing badly. I just think it's a little uninspiring as Alexis Sanchez.
He's not fit. He's not completely fit, to be honest.
I know he had a very long, long summer and probably partied with Vidal way too much.
And after Wenger... yes. Wenger also brought him back way earlier than he intended. He didn't want to play him at the beginning of the season, but then our form was shocking, so he had to kind of throw him in there.
He looks a little bit off the boil.
I agree.
He had a decent game today, a lot of chances, but I'm waiting for him to click into gear.
And you judge players by their standards. I mean, Sanchez, a bad game will still be above average and everyone will be fine. But for Sanchez's level, I agree. Mm. He could definitely still step it up. A small point is that Arsenal donated £1 from every ticket to the refugee.
I thought you were just going
to
say they donated £1.
No.
Basically, they took the £1 they were going to give to Liverpool for Suarez and
yes,
gave it to the refugees.
The plus one. So that amounted to something like £60,000. So that was quite a nice move. Let's hope a couple more clubs follow suit, because Germany's been doing it.
I think the EPL, all the teams are doing that.
Are they?
I heard something that there's a scheme.
Let's hope so. All right, cool. Now, this game. We just finished watching this one. Leicester-Villa. Wow.
By the way, usually we wouldn't think this is the game that we're going to highlight.
Of course.
We're only talking about big games and good results.
But now we're starting to think that any game with Leicester in it is definitely worth a watch. It's looking that way.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Tinkerman Ranieri, who I had picked earlier this season to get relegated, which hurt me because I like him.
Right.
But my God, he has his team playing even better
yes.
than Pearson did. This is unbelievable.
3 wins and 2 draws and 5, second in the league right now. It's fantastic form, and they're fun. They're so much
they
fun
really
to
are.
Watch.
A lot of fun. And you don't think they're going to lose. I mean, last season they showed resilience to stay up. But this is what they did today, coming back from 2-0. And by the way, coming back from 2 amazing goals that Villa scored.
So Villa started this game playing away really, really well. They looked good. Lescott and Mika Richards looked solid at center back.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I mean, to be fair, Richards has been playing well all season,
mm-hmm.
which I'm happy for him. I mean, the guy deserves a bit of a break with all his injuries and all that stuff.
And Man City nonsense.
And Man City Blue Moon stuff, yes. But he played really well. Lescott just moved from West Brom, played really well. And as a whole, Villa had complete control of that game.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the first half. Grealish scored a fantastic. We love those corners. That David Blind kind of goal.
I love him.
And then Gil or however people want to say his name.
I think it's actually Gil.
Gil. So it's in between. So I was wrong both.
Yeah.
So Gil scored another very similar one with his left.
Just one time. Both of them one time mm-hmm. curling hits. Oh, beautiful.
And Villa looked on their way, Sherwood's win percentage looking up, everything's great.
Yeah, 60 minutes, you're 2-0 up, you close that game out, but probably as I know all too well, Leicester
yes.
cannot be put down. Those guys are a bunch of hounds, they're crazy. Mahrez, stunning game.
He just stepped up last kind of 30 minutes. He just said, you know, here we go, this is unacceptable, let's make it happen. And that, I mean, he's... on form, for me, over 5 games, he's been the best player in the league so far. Fantasy...
It sounds so weird.
The fantasy points back him up, to be honest.
I know. I have him on my team, so I see it every week.
True. Inler played in there, and he looked good. And I was watching this game thinking, for 5 million, Arsenal could have really done with a defensive mid-backup for Coughlin in Inler. He's class... He's got a lot of experience, and he's cheap.
Maybe he's crazy. I don't know.
I don't know, but at least now he's playing. He's playing full 90 minutes, and he looks great. So Dyer came on. To be fair to, what's his name? The Ranieri.
Mm-hmm.
He changed the game as well tactically. He, at halftime, he took out the Japanese dude. Don't remember his name.
Okazaki.
Yeah. And then he played Mahrez in the center and
mm-hmm.
brought on Dyer
mm-hmm.
from Swansea. I mean, he didn't come from Swansea just for
yeah,
the game.
Yeah, he didn't show up. We'll go back to Wales
he's
right after right. the game.
And that completely changed things. It was the same effect as Young on United. Dyer down the left, just taking people on, creating chaos, opening space for Mahrez. And it was fantastic. Dyer scoring the third goal.
Mm-hmm.
With a, you know what? If I'm Sherwood and I have Dyer winning headers against Richards and Lescott, I'd be very disappointed.
Now the question, did he really win it? Because he went down and he was out.
Yeah,
he if this was boxing, he lost that fight.
He didn't know that he scored a goal until after. But yeah, great result from Leicester. Great comeback. Like we said, Mahrez was key there, but fantastic. I enjoy watching Leicester so much.
Me too, me too. I didn't enjoy, really quickly, I think City, Crystal Palace. Enjoyable game altogether.
It was so feisty.
And that's what the Eagles, right?
The Eagles.
Yeah, that's what they do. I don't know why I wanted to call them by their nickname all of a sudden.
Yeah. I
was impressed by Nasri. For the first time in a very long time, I enjoyed watching Simon Nasri play football.
He some guilt edge chances, but he did look very good. I mean, City started with a very... I mean, no one... Silva, yes, was a little injured, but people didn't know till very late. Mm-hmm. And then you had...
Sterling injured too.
No Sterling, no De Bruyne starting. So it was quite a changed lineup for City. It's weird when you have Nasri, Navas and Boney on the field and saying, these are your subs.
Aguero injured from that reckless tackle.
It was so high.
Is that a red card?
Look, when you kick someone that high on the knee, it has nothing to do with the ball.
It was stopping a counterattack.
It was assault.
Yeah. And Pellegrini and Pardew got into it on the sideline.
Pardew has this habit of getting into the other person's technical area, and that does get frustrating.
It does.
I think Pellegrini was pointing to the tunnel, saying, "Let's go! Like, I'll take you in the tunnel." Like, Pellegrini got mad.
The only good thing about that was they made up after, which was quite nice. But Pellegrini's a really nice guy.
Yeah, I think they bonded over beating Mourinho a couple of times.
Yeah.
And then it looked like Crystal Palace were going to frustrate City. De Bruyne came on for Aguero.
He actually looked very good.
He did. He's a good player.
Like, I was wondering, I was waiting to see whether it was just a Wolfsburg one season fluke or not, but he has everything.
He has something about it. That's true. And then Iheanacho representing Nigeria.
Yes, indeed. Oh. Interesting little story.
Yeah.
Is he
related to you?
No, no, no. Even though he is Igbo, so maybe we'll find out later. I'll do a DNA test and we'll see.
Okay.
At the United Bar Liverpool game, we're talking about Iheanacho, and I went, "Oh, he's a Nigerian," and that idiot Liverpool fan in front of me is a Nigerian guy. He goes, "Oh, Niger," and he tries to fist bump me, and I stopped midway, and I went, "You Liverpool fan can't do it," and the whole bar erupted because I stopped.
Nice.
It was hilarious.
So yeah, he scored in the 90th minute or so to grab all 3 points, which is very important 3 points, because I think Crystal Palace is going to be a tough game for
Crystal Palace. Were second.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they beat Chelsea, barely lost to Arsenal, barely lost to City. I think it's going to be a very tough game for almost any team.
I think so. And getting, it's, you know how they say the mark of champions, you win a game that you probably weren't going to win or something like that. And,
correct.
You know, they're showing it, and I don't think they're going
to
be.
And also, to be fair, regardless of their quality, City did win the game without three major players. Mm-hmm. You know, Silva, Sterling and De Bruyne. So,
and if you want, you can say without a 30-plus million pound defender in Otamendi, who didn't even like get on the pitch.
To be fair, Mangala looks solid right now. He just looks so good.
This whole give them time to adapt thing is really, really key with Mangala, because he looks like crap. In fact, his form was a reason Otamendi was signed. Otamendi must be pissed, because Mangala's amazing.
If anything, the owners should be pissed. They paid 30 million. Really quickly, other scores. We're not going to get too much into them, but Norwich beat Bournemouth. These are one of the games that people like to call six-pointers. Mm-hmm. Two of the teams that came up. I think very important 3 points for Norwich there. Houlihan looks unbelievable for them. He just makes them tick. He's looked fantastic.
I hate him. He scored against me. I hate him.
West Brom, Southampton, 0-0. Pulis is good when it comes to defense, isn't he?
He knows what he's doing with the back. I mean, he signed Fazio and Johnny Evans. And I think he signed two more centre backs.
Right. He did get rid of Jagielka, to be fair.
Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. Well, he made like 8 million off him.
Which is crazy. Which is insane. Anyway, Sunderland 0, Spurs 1. Congratulations! Spurs' first win of the season. Woo!
I know. I think they're partying in the streets. So
yeah.
What are they? East or West London? West London?
I don't know.
Who cares?
But good 3 points there. Mason scoring in the 80-something minute. Kane still struggling for Tottenham. I think he has one goal in the last 15 hours of football.
I'm blaming Tottenham supply line on this for this one. Even though
what supply line?
Yes. Ericsson hasn't played in God knows how long.
Charlie shoots all the time. And I don't know who plays on the right. Sometimes it's Townsend. I don't know.
When Ericsson comes back, he'll score. I think that's the situation.
In the 90th minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations to Spurs there. Watford, this one was a surprise. Watford beating Swansea 1-0. Which is Swansea were on form, absolutely on form.
That's just annoying.
Yeah.
How could you? I mean, they beat us, and they deserve to beat us, and then they lose to Watford. Like, no, maintain your form.
Yeah.
Make me feel like it's you like were that
West,
good.
It's like when West Ham beat Arsenal and Liverpool, then lost to like Bournemouth 4-3.
Oh, come crazy. On, guys.
And Watford had Bairami on red card since the 64th minute. So I don't know how Swansea didn't score a goal. I don't know. Anyways.
Jonjo Shelvey and that whole England thing.
Right, the hype got through. Mm-hmm. Okay, pretty exciting weekend from Premier League. Let's move on to Move of the Week.
Move of the Week.
All right, so I'm not really sure who the Mumu really is here, but the context of the situation is Saido Berahino. I mean, first thing he did that was stupid was really going after that move to Tottenham and saying that he's never going to play for the Baggies again.
Yeah.
Which he obviously did over the weekend coming off the bench. But the real funny thing was he almost missed the move to Tottenham that didn't happen anyway because he can't drive because he has a drunk driving.
Another Momo that's due so him. Far.
Exactly, yeah. So he's doing really well. So he has a driver who apparently is a footballer, which to me is just, I just seem, now I'm thinking his driver's name is Aliyu. I'm like, Aliyu, do you have no self respect? Why are you this guy's driver when you're apparently a footballer? I don't understand. But so he was waiting in somewhere, I don't know where he was waiting, but he got dropped off by Aliyu. And then he basically told Aliyu, hey, wait right here, I'll be back. Maybe he went to the corner store or something. Yeah. Aliyu decides to speed off because he heard that he might get a move to Coventry. So he is gone on the M1 or whatever they call it in England, speeding his way to Coventry. Berahino, this is not really what happened, but in my head, he comes out of the corner store and thinks, where the hell's the car? Where's Aliyu? Calls him like, mate, what, where are you? And Aliyu's like, I'm going to Coventry, mate.
I think that the funniest part here is that your driver getting the move he wants and not you. That is hilarious.
Exactly, because and Berahino was scared for a second thinking that you better get back here because I'm moving to Tottenham, I need a ride.
Nice. My candidate is Adidas, who I think is the first time we've had a sponsor as a Mumu. That's nice. After Daily Blind scored that goal for United against Liverpool, they put up a Twitter little video of him. And you know, fine, you can do that, but the video was crazy. It was Daily Blind on a dolphin kicking a football going underground and overground into like holes that only moles go into, not dolphin. Like there was no water. Like the dolphin was going head first into the ground and back out.
They need to go back to environmental studies.
Yes, like it was a gopher or something. I don't know why. Absolutely insane.
Made no sense.
All right, so in Spain, a couple of interesting things happened over the weekend as well. Ronaldo was in kind of a bad form, a bit of a drought. I mean, not as bad as Harry Kane, but a drought for
not
Ronaldo.
Not as bad as Rooney.
Yeah, 3 games now he hadn't scored for Madrid. And then they played Espanyol away over the weekend, and Ronaldo scored 5.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Espanyol, their dogged side, this is going to be a bit difficult, but I mean, last week they scored 6 or 5. Mm. No, they scored 5. Mm. And then this game, he had a hat-trick in the first 20 minutes of this game.
Correct.
Then he made one for Benzema. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, okay, that's it. Then he scored 2 more after that.
Yeah.
Like, what?
So he, first of all, it was the second time scoring 5 goals in a game, which is fantastic. And
second time?
Yeah, second time.
Impressive.
And he broke Raul's record for Madrid La Liga goal. I mean, to be fair, ratio-wise, he broke that record years ago.
I mean, his goals to game right
yes.
now is ridiculous.
But just in terms of goals, Raul had 228 mm-hmm. in 550 mm-hmm. appearances. So, half.
Yeah.
A goal every 2 games. Ronaldo has now 230 in 204.
Oh.
It's unbelievable. He's an absolute machine when it comes to these things.
He just, like, he is one of the greatest just scorers.
Yeah.
Just the word scorers,
period. Which is crazy how he started off as this flair winger, mm-hmm. and now he is this unbelievable, efficient goal-scoring machine.
And, you know what? Unbelievable. It leaves me without words because I thought, oh, let me just check on the Real Madrid scores. And
yeah.
5. It's like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's like, is life scores glitching here? Because Ronaldo is coming up a lot. No, but Ronaldo's one of these players where There's always the next Ronaldo. There is no the next Ronaldo. Stops. Like, I don't think anyone is going to kind of master this efficiency in goal scoring.
I think that what we need to start understanding is that this guy is a legend of the game.
Yeah.
And start treating him as that. And just admit, it's kind of like annoying me when people say the next Messi as well. Mm. Because it's like, to be honest with you, these guys are above, like, head and shoulders above everything that our generation has seen. So why don't we just say that and just ignore this other crap?
These guys have set a whole new standard, a whole new mark. That when you start talking about other players in the game, you always start saying with Ronaldo and Messi aside, blah, 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 blah. Because you can't. The minute they are involved in any kind of conversation, it just skews it completely and everyone else looks like a peasant.
So congratulations to Ronaldo. I will say this, in the next tier of player, Gareth Bale had a fantastic game.
Bale was unbelievable. Bale and Modric both just kept serving Ronaldo over and over and over. And they're doing their whole Tottenham thing again. Like, they're really close friends. You can see it on the field. Mm-hmm. And they play so well together. Bale gave Ronaldo like 2-3 assists, 2-3 pre-assists. Mm-hmm. It was just a great game from
Bale. The fantastic thing is, I was very skeptical about this whole Bale playing in a free role thing, not because I don't think he can do it. I just thought it was a ploy to say, Ronaldo, you're on your way out.
Yep.
This is Bale's team. But I think what this, now on this evidence, what shows me is that, you know what? This can be both their teams in different ways.
I think there's a way where this works in that we saw the goals. Bale's, a couple of assists were through the center, through passes. A couple were crosses from the left. So you're right. He is playing the free role. And I think with Ronaldo, the way he is now, it's smart to kind of take him out of the buildup.
Mm-hmm.
That's not stupid. Take him out of buildup and just have him scoring the goals. There's nothing wrong with it.
The thing is, we have to admit now, he's almost 31. He is slower now.
Yeah.
He's not slow by any means, but he's still slower. And I think his vision is, I mean, he never really was the most visionary player in the world, but the things that he used to do back in the day that he could do that would make him useful in the build-up, he can't do those things anymore.
Even if he's not slow, the fact that he's slower, psychologically, it will get to him. If he tries to get past that right back over and over and starts to fail, it will get to him. And
so
that
let him play
good.
A bit higher up, closer to the goal, and you still make good use
of
it. But the only question I have for leave this game is, one, there has to be a fall guy. And whether that's Benzema or whether that's James, one of those two guys has to.
Well, James is injured now for a month, so that is a headache.
Benzema looks fat.
Benzema's always kind of looked like he could lose some weight, to be honest. He could a
this
little
season,
bit.
He's starting to look like fat Ronaldo is coming up on him really, really quick.
That's true, that's true. The other game was the big one for the weekend in La Liga. It was Atletico Madrid versus Barcelona. Always a fun game away. Barcelona were playing away.
Didn't look like it.
Didn't look like it. I mean, this was without Messi too. Messi didn't start. He just had a son, his second son,
Mateo
in midweek, and so he didn't train, so he didn't play the game. Which is, you know, nice. It was, I don't know. I think Messi doesn't train doesn't mean he can't play. Ledley King played without training. I'm pretty sure Messi can do it.
Messi doesn't train for a year, he'll still be.
Yeah, it was one of those principal things. He hasn't trained. His head wasn't in the game, so let's play someone else. And, you know, Neymar Suarez did okay. They did well.
Mm-hmm.
But Atletico opened the scoring. Torres with, I mean, if you have any sense, you put money on Torres scoring against Barcelona because he does
it. You wouldn't have said that a year
game.
Ago.
No.
But now he would.
Yeah. He did it for Chelsea against Barcelona. Mm-hmm. He's just unbelievable. And then, yeah, Atletico were 1-0 up against the run of play, to be fair.
Seriously against the run of play, because it was, they were being tormented by Barcelona.
Yep.
And Andres Iniesta was running around like I haven't seen him do in years.
He's having a good season so far. He's really looking good. Again, Rakitic kind of helps, because Neymar now has more of an attacking creative role than a kind of a center mid. When he was playing center mid a few seasons back, you could see his age.
Mm-hmm.
He can't do that. But when he's forward creating, then he doesn't have that much responsibility in terms of defending or running around. And that's what Rakitic gives the
I'm
team.
I'm really enjoying Rakitic, by the way.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Really, really enjoying
him. Because he's not a typical Barca player. That's why we like him. He's a bit different. Like
he is. He's a bit different, and I think they needed that.
Arda Turan will be similar. Different. He'll be different.
I don't think that's going to work out.
No? I don't know, man.
I don't rate Arda Turan as highly as some people do. I don't think he's a good player, but Barcelona...
I think he might be
player.
Useful in ways that Barca don't have.
I think he's useful in terms of when a team's grafting on Barcelona, like how you beat Barcelona, he's going to be that aggressive guy that will counter that.
Busquets cannot be, for example. Then Neymar scored like a minute later with a fantastic free kick. You've got Neymar taking them from the left and Messi taking them from the right to curl them in. I mean, that's just another source of goals that is fantastic.
That was beautiful.
And then Messi came on. The team just looked galvanized. just, I mean, I think Neymar and Alba after the game said, I mean, they asked him, do you think Messi coming on influenced you guys to play better? And they're like, what do you think? He's the best player in the world. He comes on, obviously we all play better.
Think about it from Atletico's point of view.
Yeah.
It's 1-1, and then, like, when it, if he started in the game, fine. Mm. But then you see Lionel Messi coming off the bench, you probably think to yourself, oh, crap.
It's been 70 minutes of just keeping Barca at bay, then this guy comes on as a super sub. Imagine Messi as a super sub.
The Argentinian Naismith comes
yes.
on. How do you feel about the Argentinian Naismith?
Yes. So Suarez assisted him there. Messi with a really nice outside of the left foot finish. Almost Martial-like. Almost.
Just a little bit less.
Just. And then dedicated his goal with the whole thumb in the mouth thing to his new son. And that was lovely. But yeah. Barca, important 3 points. Very important.
Quick thing you just reminded me of. You know on Sportsnet World, that show where they do Messi and Maradona, Ronaldo and Figo, and Kaká and some Ronaldo
and
Sambe,
Rooney, yeah.
Marcial and Henri.
Yeah, we need one like tomorrow. Yes. But yeah, that was it for La Liga. That's pretty much all the time we have, but we are looking forward to next week talking about the Champions League games that are happening on Tuesday and Wednesday. Two big games, Roma, Barca, Man City, Juve. The way the new pots are now, we're going to get a lot of big games in the group stages.
A lot of big games.
It wasn't like that earlier. It was you waited till the round of 16. Now you're going to get a lot of really good games.
And we're also hoping that TFC are a step closer to the playoffs after this weekend. We'll see, hopefully.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
Let's hope so. All right. Well, see you guys next week.
Thank you for downloading the Koshcast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.